Wilson Podcast. It is the Madison Podcast. I'm Eric Reinert. With me, as always, is Chris Lay.
Good afternoon.
Usually with me is Chris
Lay.
Lots of ways to get a hold of us. It's September 11th, 2012, so we're commemorating September 11th with an episode with two of our friends, because, you know, we're all about creating happiness here on the Madison Podcast to counteract the events of September 11th. And by that, of course, I mean the release of Nickelback's record Silver Side Up, which was released on September 11th, 2001. And unleashed upon the world a torrent of hard rock
that is
yet to be killed. Yeah. So, today is truly an American tragedy.
Today is the day Joni Mitchell died as well.
Oh.
She's still alive. I don't know why I said
that. No? Oh, okay.
True. I don't know why I said that at all.
No, it is true.
She actually died this morning. And that's
Tell her the day.
I'm finding out on a podcast. Shit. Like, I really would have expected more jokes on Twitter.
How often have you broken news on the podcast?
I don't know.
Pretty much every time. I mean, I pride our podcast on being like a breaking news, like current events podcast. So we try to get one in every time.
Mm-hmm. Let's introduce our guests before we talk too much more. We have John Kersgaard.
Hello.
And we have Chris Winterhack.
Hello.
Both of whom work together. I think. Well, do you guys both do the site like a lot of the stuff together? Yes.
No, I have a smaller role.
Let's talk about their individual roles. But first let's mention the website, jonkmusic.com, jonkmusic.com. John Kersgaard, probably the editor, publisher,
yes,
creator
that is
of that
correct.
Site.
Yep. Proprietor, I like to call it. Proprietor.
Chris Winterhack.
The Larry Flint of the...
Why are you here
I'm,
today?
I'm helping out with sponsorships and marketing. We are... since I came on, we're a little bit more local focused to the Madison area, so check out junkmusic.com/Madison to find out about local shows, interviews with bands coming up, concert previews, concert reviews, pretty soon show photos, shows we're sponsoring.
I didn't know that part.
Awesome.
More breaking news!
So we thought it'd be fun to sponsor shows and become more local and
sure.
And become more involved in the music scene here. So I was kind of involved with that and do things like ticket giveaways and things.
Okay.
And then John does everything else except for the writing.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Tell us about when the site started and sort of what got you going.
It started on February 14th, 2005. So I obviously...
I was really hoping you were going to say September 11th, 2001.
It's the anniversary show. So.
Yeah.
For more than one thing. No, it's actually Valentine's Day, 05, so I obviously didn't have much going on with any girls that day, but that's fine. So the first... their very first post was Secret Machines. I don't know if you guys know that band.
I know Secret Machines.
Yeah. I have really liked them back then. But they had played a show at Club 770 about a week before that.
Ah, okay.
And that was kind of...
Back when Club 770 was a real thing.
Right. And not just...
In our
figment, yes.
So that was a quasi kind of catalyst for it, just because, you know, I had fun at that show and other shows. But it really just kind of started as... That was my senior year at UW. And it was kind of just a way to tell my friends who were all starting to move away what I was listening to. Because before we'd listen to it together, and then after that, not so much.
Was there anything about, like, I guess where you're at? I mean, you know, I've all done, you know, blogs and websites and things like that. But there's always kind of like a weird, like, you just came home from that show and you're like, I'm gonna get this domain and, you know, set it up in Blogger or whatever, you know, WordPress.
It was Blogger at the time. I actually did set it up the summer before that at first, summer of 04, and I had like one post and I thought, oh, there's no way I can do this. So I just I didn't delete it, the site, but I just kind of like...
If we go back far enough, is that first post
it's
still
not
gonna
that,
be there?
That 04 post is not there anymore, but everything else is. So then I just kind of restarted it. The year before that, like around December of 04, I was trying to, in November, basically between like Thanksgiving and the end of the school year, I tried to do this thing where I went to some of the record stores on State Street, mm-hmm. and I would buy just one new thing each day, usually from the discount bin, because if you're buying something brand new every day for a month, that
adds up. Yeah. Quickly.
So then I was thinking, like, it's cool to have, like, one new thing every day. So that's kind of how the gimmick, the catalyst of it. Not the Madison part, but the main part is our gimmick is one new song per day.
Yeah. How do you determine where the songs are going to come from? Or, I mean, is that...
So determining that really kind of used to be before, and we'll get into the fact that we have lots of different writers and stuff, and they're mm-hmm. all very cool. Before that, it was just, I was kind of an aggregator of stuff that I would find online. So, I mean, I could wake up one day and not know what I would be posting that night. It would just be, I find something that day and I post it. But now it's kind of a deal where everything is about a week or two in advance. So, like, right now we have about four or five set for the next week or so. So it's basically I just go to a wider range of different other sites and blogs and things like that to find stuff that I like. Now, being almost 8 years into it, I get lots and lots of emails from people, and most of those are, like, remixes or just, like, really terrible things. I delete 90% of the stuff that comes in. But it's really just, I mean, it is completely arbitrary in the fact that only stuff that I like gets posted.
Good.
But it is my name on there. So.
Yeah. Indeed. Are there any, as a result of that, are there any genres that sort of get excluded from your site?
Somebody once told me that the site should have been called Genre, because my name's John, instead of Junk Music, or Junk Rock, kind of like ESPN's Jock Jams or something. But I mean, it's mostly. I mean, it was. It's all kind of indie rock stuff.
Okay.
Over the years, it's kind of there was kind of a folk phase to it a little bit, as that kind of got more prominent with Fleet Foxes and Bon Iver and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We should talk about Bon Iver too later.
Definitely.
And then the last couple years, it's kind of gone a little bit more electronic, not so much like dub stuff, but just kind of like, you know.
So the site, as it evolves,
but
honestly,
it could be,
honestly reflects your tastes, like, at the time, in a way. It's kind of like a time capsule. Like, exactly, you look back and it's the, you know, now you're, you know, kind of evolving.
Yeah, and it's this weird thing kind of where when I hear a song, I'll remember, like, what time of year it was posted and what was going on in my life at that time. So it's kind of this, kind of this yearbook thing for me.
It's fun to go back and listen to old stuff like that, like, even stuff.
But yeah, I'm sure that even if you didn't have a website, when you hear a certain song, you'll remember what person were you hanging out with the most then, or what event happened.
I've been trying to think of this band that I listened to in 2001, and I can't think of their name, and I was even thinking about this morning. So I went as far as last week trying to log into my MySpace page, because I thought that I may have them listed as one of my favorite bands on MySpace.
Remember your password?
I couldn't get in, and so one of my friends who could get in actually took a screenshot of my favorite music.
Nice.
One of your friends who could get into your MySpace?
No, his MySpace, but I was friends with him on MySpace.
Yeah. So
send me
the
screenshot. So, lo and behold, the band was not on there. If anybody knows of that band, email Chris and John.
Are there any hits? Can you, like, is it just like...
No, there's no
I mean, because obviously it was the Strokes. That's it.
No.
Speaking of the Strokes, so before Chris, Winterhack, and I got very drunk during the Badger football game the other day, mainly because they were losing, is why we got very drunk. We stopped over at...
But you would have if they were winning, too, bro. Yeah. Well, let's be
not
real.
As bad, I don't think.
It was definitely a bad weekend for
his wife was not
football.
Happy with us.
Yeah. My fantasy football team lost, too, so I went 0-3, man.
Oh, I think we're 0-3, then.
Yeah.
He and I both lost, too.
Yep.
Shit.
Not a good weekend. But, so Chris and I stopped over at Fresh Market to buy some grillables and drinkables. And... we drove over there, Chris drove, and the elevator, there was two little kids and their father, and one kid, the tinier kid, had a Strokes t-shirt on, and I took it upon myself to ask him if you like the Strokes or not, and he didn't know who the Strokes were.
Of course not.
And said it was just a hand-me-down from his brother, so yeah. I pointed at his brother and I said, do you like the Strokes? And what did he say? I don't even remember.
He's like, I don't even know who they are.
So neither of them know who they are.
Huh.
But I mean, I like seeing the slow 2 foot
tall
guy.
So they're wearing it ironically? Yeah.
If there is any band that was kind of destined to be like a t-shirt that nobody knows who they are, like the Strokes are probably, they're up there. I don't know.
They were so big for...
No, they were huge, yeah. But they haven't done anything really of any merit since
they
like,
all kind of broke
albums.
Separately off into doing their yeah. own stuff.
Albert Hammond's solo album was really good.
Yeah, yeah. I remember Nikolai being over at the Majestic several years back.
Yeah.
Low versus Diamond opened
with
that
Low
show.
Versus Diamond, who yeah. was a very, very favorite band of mine for a little while there. That's only because a girl that I was kind of seeing liked them. So
the bass.
But now that you're
not
with them, they fucking suck.
My favorite, like just the bass lines and their songs were so good and like so interesting. And I don't know. That's yeah.
That's how I feel about Rancid.
Yeah. I'm a real big Strokes fan.
That Low versus Diamond, there was actually 2 shows, I think, at the Majestic. But
there was a headlining show.
Right. One that I went to with that girl, she got, like, she was kind of out of it by the end of the night and actually climbed up on stage afterwards and went upstairs to the Majestic, up to, the green room and stuff. And that's when I met Matt Gerding of the Majestic for the first time when he was kicking us out. And now we're
yeah.
friends, so it's
nice. Yeah, yeah, we had him on.
All worked out for the best.
This is what,
but she, like, she sat down, head. Like, at his computer or somebody's computer, and he's like, who are you? Get out.
Have you shared this story with Matt Gerding since then?
I don't think I have. No. Nope.
No.
I probably will do that at some point.
At some point.
Yeah, you have to...
Remember that funny time?
Well, I mean,
he's
a friend of the podcast, so he might
hear
this. Huh? He might find out just through the grapevine by hearing it.
Well, let's talk really quick about, I guess, the connection you guys have with the Majestic, because you're kind of in the middle or just starting out a big run of shows that you guys are totally attached to.
Yeah, that's true. Chris can probably... speak best.
Does anybody want another beer?
Sure.
I will take one. Yes.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I used to be the marketing coordinator for the Majestic Theater several years ago, so I have a relationship with Matt Gerding. And
not to interrupt, but I'm surprised his name hasn't come up yet. Peter Truby.
Yeah.
Troobs.
Good friend of mine.
Peter Truby.
Actually, Chris had Peter's job, Peter's job before... Peter had it.
Yep. Peter was...
Peter was like his intern or something.
Intern.
Yep.
So we are sponsoring a good run of shows coming up here at the Majestic Theater.
Yep.
The first of which is coming up on September 18th. The band The Heavy, which there's a new music video that's... it was pointed out to me today, which is really good. It's
always the
song.
Promoter. He's got his phone out. He's going to pull up the website. He's going to
get the dates
right.
They had that hit song.
References, man.
They had that,
no, I know.
Yeah. There's so much stuff going on that he needs to...
We'll be giving tickets.
No, totally.
We'll be giving away tickets to all these shows on facebook.com/junkmusic. So
not on MySpace, though. So
yeah, no, the MySpace page is down right now.
Friendster also good. Out of the picture.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, it's a gaming site, apparently. I can't get in that one either.
Huh.
It's a what?
Gaming. Apparently, it's a gaming
really?
Website.
So
nothing
Timberlake
to do with
owns MySpace now. Is that true? Justin Timberlake.
Is that something to do with the fact that he played that character on?
I don't think so. No.
You think he just?
I thought
he just bought it. Do you think he bought it so he could shut it down?
I think they took care of that before he bought it.
He bought MySpace from. Fox
he and some
Space?
Other guy bought it for a tiny,
like,
tiny little fraction of. I mean, it was.
Because News Corp bought it, right?
It like,
yeah, News Corp had it, and it was just one of the biggest tech buys.
Yeah,
and then
they,
Facebook came along and
I think
up
it
until
shit
Facebook
on
bought
it,
Instagram,
yeah.
Yeah, which was just retarded.
But I think it was so sold for
pennies.
So it was I don't know, $20 million or 10 or something, which was
I feel like that's
which
even
is not
overvalued.
I would love to have that amount of money to
that's
just buy MySpace with it, but
man,
it
if
was,
I had that
it
amount of money, I
could
think of way better things to do than buy
MySpace. So.
What is somebody going to use MySpace for anymore now?
Just really just kind of band stuff now. Not even...
No,
bands don't even do that.
On
they're
Bandcamp
on Bandcamp and SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Not really on MySpace. I don't know.
Yeah, when we had Costa got here, we talked to him about Bandcamp.
Yeah.
He loves it. He loves being able to deal directly.
Yeah, so they focused on being a music website and for bands, and they're the number 3 or 4 go-to site for bands to do that. So that's not a... Things are not going well over...
At MySpace. MySpace
over there.
They should just turn it into a porn site.
The connection.
So Chris used to work at the Majestic.
I would buy MySpace.com and I would just turn it into a website about me. So it'd just be MySpace.
Yeah.
And then it would just all be about Chris Winterhack and the band I can't find.
You'd probably get about as much.
It'd be ironic if the guy who cannot log into his MySpace. It wasn't the Vines, was it?
The Vines.
No, it was Andrew W.K.
Right. He's still around. Partying.
Yeah, he just reissued I Get Wet, which is a fucking powerful record. I love that record. He was on Mark Maron's WTF podcast, which is really interesting. Yeah, hearing him talk.
Remember when he played at James Madison Park?
It was rainy that day.
Wait, he played James Madison
Park?
Yeah, my freshman year. Yeah, 2004.
I saw him when he came, because it was like, I think the first year, like 2007 when I moved to 2007 or early 2008, he came and did a speaking engagement.
Yeah.
Where it was like a
campus, right?
Yeah, and it was like 10 minutes of him kind of going like, be yourselves, like party hard, like blah, and then it just was like, ask me questions. Someone was like, can I ride on your shoulders? He's like, yeah! And like, that was it. Like, that was kind of the whole thing. Like, lines out the door to ask him questions and or get shoulder rides.
I don't think he's been as active, but his Twitter feed is quite...
His Twitter feed is quite active.
One of my favorite party tips is to nail a banana to your wall. And then people were tweeting pictures of them nailing bananas to the wall. Also, one of the other party tips is don't count your chickens before they party. Well, this is just
sound advice.
This is sound advice. And
what it's like some of those honestly kind of boiled out of these weird like Zen koans, like these kind of like philosophy exercises.
You had no idea that we're going to be talking about Andrew WK today, and yet you knew those two tweets like right off.
I bet he's got like
a signed note from him.
You do
six more.
5 feet away from you.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I totally do. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I wasn't there.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, some friends of mine. I had like a thing that I had to go to out of town, so I missed him when he came with the Warped Tour to Charlotte. And a bunch of my friends ended up like hanging out with him on his tour bus afterwards because he sits around and will sign anything for his fans as long as there's a line. And so they got him to sign like
can you
this
please,
like
can you
handbill.
Read that?
Yeah, they got him to sign like the back of his handbill. For me, and it's, to
read
Chris.
Read it in an Andrew W.K. voice.
To Chris, we know you're a ways out of town. We just want to say hello and hunker down and party hard. You're a friend, Andrew W.K. Dated 7/28/03. That was.
He says dates in your voice. Yeah. That's weird.
So, I framed it. Little shitty frame. That's,
so, Chris Winterhack wanted to kind of get back into the music business to kind of segue back to where we were 10 minutes ago.
Because you were involved with music, and then you went to go, you've been working with Red Car, doing the beer league and stuff, right?
I help run a company called Red Car Meal Plan, which is my very time-consuming day job, which I love. So it's redcarmealplan.com if you're a student.
And my day job is at whisk.edu if you're a student.
On the nights and weekends, I enjoy helping out John with his website and thinking about music and... it's a fun little project to be part of.
Yeah.
So you have your phone out, Chris. What were some other shows?
Well, I'll give you the rundown.
Yeah.
The Rundown's going to be there?
The Rundown.
Is that a band? I don't know.
They're going to show The Rundown?
That was a movie starring The Rock, I think.
Yep, and Stifler.
Well,
and Stifler!
I saw the movie Goon with him, with Sean William Scott. Mm-hmm. Good movie, especially if you like hockey.
He's one of those guys.
If you like Sean William Scott.
Goon was good. Sean William Scott, I really like Sean William Scott.
Me
I think
too.
He is
I'll see
a
movie just
because
he's
guy,
in it. Yeah.
But he has been in nothing but relatively terrible movies.
Did you see Employee of the Month? Well,
no.
That might not be the name of it, but it's him and John C. Reilly in the same movie about them competing to be... It's kind of like that shitty movie with Dane Cook and Dax Shepard. But a little bit
Dax
better.
Oh, Dax Shepard.
Yeah.
Waiting?
Greats.
Is that what you're talking about?
I forget what the... It's they work in a grocery store.
There was like Employee of the Month and Waiting, which...
No, two different movies. This is the third one. Anyway, Chris, what shows are coming up at the Majestic that are sponsored by JunkMusic.com? That's Junk Music.
Well,
JohnKMusic.com.
We've mentioned The Heavy. Following that, the Jesus and the Mary Chain, or the Jesus and Mary Chain on September 19th.
I know a lot of people are looking forward to that show.
And the following day, Thursday, September 20th, Mute Math is going to be another one great live show. Thursday, September 27th, Kathleen Edwards, who is she still Justin Vernon's girlfriend?
Well, I think so, but I didn't find out that Chris isn't seeing his girlfriend until today, so I'm kind of out of the loop.
You don't want to go.
As far as, I'm not going there, so, but.
It's good.
Chris is single, though, ladies.
I know that Chris Winterhack is seeing somebody because I was at his wedding, but other than that, I have no idea who anybody is seeing.
We're still together a week later.
That's good. That's good. So I think Kathleen Edwards is still with Justin Vernon. He produced that album, her new one, so that'll be a good show.
And to top it off, Dirty Projectors on the 29th.
That show I can't wait to go see.
It's going to be one of the best shows of the year.
Yeah, it's that's awesome, and it sucks because like you're having to actually, like, I have to choose between that and Ty Segall out at the High Noon, so it's like,
But you're going to choose the one that's sponsored by JohnMusic.com, though.
Absolutely. It's really no contest.
That's like the best opportunity.
Keep in mind,
this is it's actually what they're calling the after party. They have it kind of late.
Well, yeah, isn't that like 11?
So it's actually not until 11 o'clock, so you could probably try to do both.
Majestic 5-year anniversary weekend.
Yeah.
I would say the show that I'm looking forward to most, and I just found out about this today, it's the Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, Cannibal Corpse playing at High Noon Saloon.
Yeah.
So that's now, usually a travel day for me, so I don't know what to do.
Yeah, see, like, I'll just go, my parents live in Green Bay, so I'll just drive up on Thursday and then come back Thursday night, so Wednesday night will be reserved for Cannibal Corpse. Yeah. But yeah, they're one of those bands that, like, I don't own a Cannibal Corpse record. I could probably like make up a name for one of their songs. It's just disgusting and like be pretty accurate.
Something like that.
But kind of like Gwar, you know. Like I just went to the Gwar show because I thought it would be fun. And
did
it's Gwar.
That show?
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. Yeah. And
Diplo was there.
Gwar shirt on the next day.
I told this story on the podcast, but I just got soaked in blood and then was drunk as shit and like ran home. And you know, at midnight, like covered in blood, past the police station.
You didn't run down like University Avenue, did you?
No, I ran down Wilson Street past the City Hall and police station.
If you went down University Avenue, it would have taken a nice long ride. Long ride home.
That's my point. Yeah.
Been like, no, there was this metal band, and they sprayed. Oh no, shit!
No, it's not all blood. Some of it's cum. Like it's like.
No, but the point is, I want to go see Cannibal Corpse not because you know I'm a fan of their, you know, of the band, but just because I feel like I should go to a Cannibal Corpse show, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, how brutal could that
be? You gotta
cross
that off.
Probably
not
bad, you know?
It's on the list.
Well, yeah. I don't think we're gonna have anything to do with that particular show, but
yeah.
That's okay.
But, I mean,
could be a song of the day coming up, though.
Yeah.
Grindcore kind of out of your wheelhouse, John.
You can do Curveball Fridays.
Curveball Fridays.
Curveball Fridays is
featuring I Come Blood.
Is Curveball Fridays an actual thing, or did you
No, I just pulled that out of my hat.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
We're brainstorming. It's cool.
Everybody's into some weird shit. But
where did you guys grow up?
I grew up in Altoona, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Right outside of Eau Claire.
So it's basically East Eau Claire. Mm-hmm. At some point in the 1880s, it was actually called East Eau Claire. Then
became Altoona.
It's Altoona. It used to be. Not so much now. It was a railroad town. It's the Altoona Railroaders. The nickname is.
Fast.
Yeah.
Eau Claire is not a bad place to spend a weekend.
Most people there aren't very fast, though.
No.
But the same train that like went through Altoona, Pennsylvania, supposedly went through Altoona on the way to Eau Claire, Minneapolis, so it kind of got that name.
Yeah, the Eau Claire Express.
So, and the Eau Claire Express is a baseball team.
That is...
They're in the Mallards Northwoods League, so...
Eau Claire, not a bad place to hang out for a few days.
No.
Yeah,
like there's that that bar, the joint, which I really like.
So after college, I moved back, lived at home for a couple of years, which was the same exact time that Bon Iver started to form and et cetera. So it was a great time to actually. The joint was like my go-to place.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of friends who enjoyed going there.
I wonder if we know some of the same people. We'll have to talk about that after this.
Chris, what godforsaken town are you from?
One second. I want to dig into the Bon Iver thing before we move too far past the gigs.
Okay.
You mentioned like you were like used to like we got to talk about it, and then it's come up a couple times. And, like it's like so you were in Eau Claire when Bon Iver was sort of forming and that whole thing.
Yeah. So I actually kind of got my love of music from my dad was a DJ in Eau Claire from about like 65 to 75, Radio roughly. DJ? Yeah.
Did, just he, like did the, he go by a different last name?
He was Steve Kane, okay. K-A-N-E.
Well, I get this good story about and then, my dad's DJ.
And yeah, and Chris's part. Dad is a radio guy, too, and he still has radio stuff, too, right?
We'll sometimes. We'll talk about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So, but my dad's been out of it for 35 years now. But so, he has this gigantic record collection, so
oh, cool,
God forbid
okay.
the day that he dies, my brother and I get to sift through that.
Fight over who gets
so then, yeah,
thing.
So then my, like, 50s, 60s... 70s stuff that I is from him.
Yeah.
And then I have one older brother who was born. He's 8.5 years older than me. So he really grew up basically entirely in the 80s. So even from like tiny part growing up, was very influenced by whatever he was doing. And then he went to school here starting in 92. So I was probably like the only 10-year-old in 1992 who was listening to like Liz Phair and like Pablo Honey and stuff like that. So, I mean, they kind of really formed the reason why I love listening to good music so much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then but then the curve. to get this back to Bon Iver, it was like this blog was still kind of a tiny little thing that only my friends really gave any care about it all. Still, in 2007 was when that kind of when Bon Iver first was coming out there in Eau Claire, and my blog was 2 years old at that point. But I mean, seeing that and being there when that kind of developed really kind of started me thinking like,
so you were actually
this
going
is like a
to...
legit thing that I should be doing, even if it's not much more than just my friends listening to it.
So you were actually seeing Bon Iver like at, you know, shows and things like that.
There's people who knew of him a lot longer ago than I did.
Sure.
I mean, if I was living in Eau Claire, I'm sure I would. His parents knew of him for a while. But I have some high school friends who went to school there.
Yeah.
Who like knew of him when he was in his old bands, but it was, I mean, I actually so. The reason why I brought up my dad is because he noticed in the Volume 1 newspaper in Eau Claire, which is kind of like the Isthmus, roughly, in Eau Claire.
Free local paper.
Exactly. It's kind of a hybrid of the Onion and the Isthmus.
Mm-hmm.
He noticed that the band The Rosebuds, who I told him I enjoyed, I'm surprised that he even recognized that I mentioned them at some point. He's like, The Rosebuds are going to be playing at the House of Rock in Eau Claire on this random Saturday afternoon. In June of 07. It was actually Justin Vernon was on tour. He was a touring member of the Rosebuds
really?
At that point. They're from North Carolina, so
yeah.
Then when D'Armond Edison moved to North Carolina before they broke up and became Bon Iver, Megaphone, and now Field Report too.
I've ordered stuff. I think they're on Merge. I want to say Merge Records.
Yeah,
I'm from Charlotte.
So
and, like,
it came
with
Carolina
like a bunch of buttons from like the Rosebuds in there.
So, I went to see the Rosebuds, and I think, I don't know, Land of Talk either played that show, or I think maybe they played, like, another crazy show there, like, a month later or something, but I went there to see the Rosebuds, and then this opening act guy, who was Bon Iver, as far as the little thing I could tell, came out and...
Which, by the way, is what I knew that band by until, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah. I'm still not entirely sure that I'm saying it right, but halfway through the first song, which was Blindsided, which however we want to call it now.
Bon Iver.
They're solidly they at this point. They don't even play that anymore, so, I mean...
Yeah.
And that was, like... But when I first was hearing it, I thought this would be like a perfect song for like a movie soundtrack. It never occurred to me that this guy who was sitting here would be winning a Grammy 5 years later. So
it was the same Grammys that gave Skrillex like 3 of them, though. So it's
that
kind
is
of,
true.
It's
don't disparage on Justin Vernon's accomplishments comparing him in any way to Skrillex.
I'm not from Wisconsin. I get to say whatever the fuck I want about Justin Vernon. Like it's.
So, yeah, I did not particularly enjoy moving back home, although I love my parents.
Kicking you off this podcast.
But if I had to move back to a hometown, moving back to Eau Claire in 2007 and 8 was the perfect time to do
that. Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. Like you said, you started the blog right around the time that music blogs were becoming a huge deal. Like, I remember right around then, because I was, like, I think I graduated college around, like, summer of 2005, I think I moved home, and, like, Gorilla vs. Bear was a big deal. There were, like, a bunch of other things that were, you know, breaking new music and really helping kind of push. I don't think Pitchfork had, you know, completely dominated the musical, you know, landscape as much as it had now, and so you really had, you know, tons of really great free and
right.
threes.
Yeah. So. And so Bon Iver's manager, Kyle, has his own little record label in Chippewa Falls, which he was forming at that time, and it was websites kind of like mine, but mostly those bigger ones that you're mentioning, which are the ones that kind of caught on to that and would really kind of vaulted bands like Bon Iver from... I mean, they kind of replaced the old music zines that you'd have 20 years ago.
Yeah, and there's a handful that really... I think, like, Stereo Gum used to be just, like, an MP3 blog.
Chris and I have talked about converting the website back to just a paper zine.
And not...
Don't
having,
do that.
And, like, not having
print, print only. We're
print,
we're
print, is, print is alive and well right now.
Yes.
Who are you?
So
the
we would, so,
the
so yeah,
the
we would...
Club?
We would so the idea is we'll just print... like a one-track CD and mail it to all 1,000 people each day. Right?
That seems scalable.
That seems, that seems cost-effective.
Good business
really.
Model.
Yeah,
it
might
be. I don't know.
Great business model.
As of right now, we're not going to do that until 2013.
Yeah.
When print becomes alive and well.
You're just saying because we're not going to get there.
I don't think the Onion print is going to make it to 2013.
That's kind of a rumor that's going on. Yeah.
It's okay. They got famous because of the internet. I mean, they may as well.
Yeah.
I'm an ex-Onion employee, and it's sad that their print might not be around, but you can read it on the interwebs. So.
Yeah,
that is true.
Well, you can you can read their like national like jokey news, but I always loved the like the local stuff they would do, and like now that they're gone, you know, especially on the web, it's pretty much leaves just like the local guys.
Well, let's talk about how junk music may be filling that role. In just a minute, Chris.
Sure. Yes.
I've been waiting patiently for Chris to tell us where he's from.
Me too.
I've been the asshole trying to get you to talk more. I'm sorry.
It's like you're a host or something.
I'm from good old Waupun, Wisconsin.
Okay.
It's three prisons.
Are they all
there is
right
two,
in a row?
Two maximum security prisons and a minimum security prison.
That's cool.
Every once in a while, prison escapes and town's on high alert.
Mm-hmm.
There's all 12,000 people, and people scurry out of town with their Confederate flags because they're so close to the south, which is just north of here.
Yep.
My dad is also a radio DJ. I have a really quick, funny story about that. His radio DJ name, my last name's Winterhack, but his name was Steve Winters.
Sure.
Yes.
And,
that's where you go.
So we were in Chicago. With we'll mention Peter Truby again. At one point this summer, and out at some after 2 a.m. bar, and there was obscene pictures everywhere, and I think it's somewhere Peter Truby with sharks and penises and all sorts of. I'll have to show you a picture, but anyways, I was going to the bathroom in this bar and see written right above the urinal the words Steve Winters. Takes it in the ass. So I'm like, God damn, my dad must be going to Chicago. So I take a picture and right
and
even more weird, right below it says Steve Winters goes clubbing. So I brought it back and actually showed it to him, called him out on a Father's Day while we were golfing.
You waited until Father's Day.
Well, it was like right around that same.
It was
time,
like
right?
a week before Father's Day, so I had to approach him about it, and he hasn't owned up to it yet. But we'll see.
We all know really that your dad takes it in the ass goes clubbing.
Yeah, and goes
sometimes at the same time.
Yeah,
well,
presumably.
That's when he's feeling super risky.
This is the type of bar he goes clubbing at. But
you didn't see any Steve.
In what pun?
Steve
no, that was in Wicker Park.
Oh, okay.
Wicker Park. My brother used to live there. I like it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Write that down.
I've had brunch there a few times. That's all I had. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, Truby lives there now. Or he works. He works in Wicker Park.
Yep. Peter Truby is now working for the Windish Agency.
He is, yeah.
Growing up in Altoona, growing up in Waupun, probably not, you know, what people would think of as like booming musical metropolises. No. So where did you guys go to, you know, get your fill of live music when you were growing up?
I listened to bands like Korn in high school. So
I kind of did that.
Would drive down to the rave in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I think my first concert was Limp Bizkit, Kid Rock, and Staind at the Eagles Ballroom.
Wow.
That's a pretty intense lineup, actually.
A really good show.
That is.
My parents drove us there. We were 16 years old.
Well, I remember, like, the first time I heard the song Blind by Korn, it, like, cracked my head open. I was like, this is amazing. Like, but
I was never angry enough to be into Korn.
I remember lunch hour in high school, a bunch of my friends were very excited that Korn's Issues was coming out. The album Issues was coming out that day. I kind of missed the fact that, like, a group of people were very excited about this album coming out today, and they were going to go buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's something that's kind of missing today.
Well, no, I don't miss
the not buying Korn albums anymore.
I just click what's new on Spotify every Tuesday.
And then Korn pops up sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, and Skrillex along with them.
I skipped school the day that Weezer's The Green Album came out, so I could go to, like, the big box store as soon
Sam
as it
Goody?
Opened. Yeah, it was a media play.
I worked at a Sam Goody for 2 years
before
in Green
really
Bay.
Terrible.
I bought a Blur album at the Sam Goody on State Street like 10 years ago.
Yeah, which Blur album?
Well,
13.
It was 10 years ago, probably. So either 13 or the self-titled.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
But
it was a big,
album at Pomida.
Somebody stole Hootie and the Blowfish from my dorm room in 2002.
Yeah.
And I think it was my friend, a girlfriend of my friend Ben. Still kind of upset about
Ben,
it.
Ben, if you're listening to this, go fuck yourself.
His name is Ben Stein, actually. Believe it or not. But I can't remember the girl's name, but I'm pretty sure that it was her. Because she acted weird ever since then, so it's gotta be.
She knows, yeah.
I do not have Cracked Review anymore. I don't have Cracked Review anymore, but I do have whatever that Tucker's Town follow-up thing was called.
Fairweather Johnson?
I think I might have the other two Hootie albums then.
Yeah.
Because I remember Tucker's Town being something.
Maybe
that was a song on there, I don't know.
Maybe Hootie will show up on Curveball Friday.
Maybe.
And it's got to be, like, Curveball Friday has to be, like Darius Rucker's, like, Burger King song. That's good. It's got to be, like, you know.
You should do a fastball song for Curveball Friday.
Oh! Ooh. That'd be the ultimate curveball!
So my first show was a fastball show. No, it's not true.
Weird Al Yankovic.
I was a huge Weird Al fan.
Yeah.
Who wasn't?
Well, my brother,
so
I still am. I still am. But
how much would you
my
pay?
Really,
what's the maximum amount of money you would pay to see Weird Al Yankovic live today?
Like today?
Yeah.
Well,
2012.
Man, it's already like 7
no,
o'clock,
like,
so I don't know that we can go today.
Okay, 2012. You know what I'm saying? What's your Weird Al story? I would probably pay like $30 probably maximum to see him live.
Yeah, I'd do
about my maximum.
I'd do upwards of 40 or 50 at this point.
Okay.
I think.
I was talking about this with somebody today. Like, there are some shows out there that, like, I don't know, and this is probably just personal priority, but I don't know that I would pay more than maybe $60 for any show. And I know that that is probably an unreasonable position at this point because so many shows, especially, like, you know, big name acts, if you want to get good seats, you're going to pay at least $100. And to me, that's too much for me.
There were, like, when I was working for True Endeavors, I did their Facebook page and all that kind of shit at the time. And so I got paid in money to go to shows. Like, it was only, like, they would, you know, pay you in tickets to shows. And so I got to go see, like, Jackson Browne, which was amazing. And I got to go see Jeff Tweedy's, like, solo thing. Like, you know, the things that would have cost, like, $50 or $60,
yeah.
And I've been paying
yeah.
for it, actually. And those shows, if I had the money, would be totally fucking worth it. Like, those things were just these amazing experiences. But, yeah, those are, like, maybe only a handful of times in my life am I ever going to really jump at that. Maybe, like the next time Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Neil Young go on tour, I might throw down, depending on the venue that it's at. But that's probably about it.
I have just one Weird Al story. You guys might have multiple ones, but I just have the one.
Go. I got none either.
So, I don't know how old I would have been. Probably about 10 or 12 or something. It had to have been around that time because my brother had gone off to college. But I had sent a letter to Weird Al asking if he'd send, if he could give an autograph for me and my brother. And I had meant it, maybe I was too selfish. I wanted two pictures, one to John and one to Joel. But he actually sent one back. I wanted one picture. I was actually not as selfish then as I am now. I wanted one picture for me, and I wanted it to be Joel and John. And then I was very surprised when I opened it up and I saw it said to John, and then I kind of flipped the page over and saw that there was another picture. It said to John's brother. I had never specified that my brother's name is Joel.
But saw an opportunity for a ridiculous joke.
Exactly.
And for it.
So somewhere in my parents' house right now are two black and white Weird Al pictures that say "To John" signed Weird Al and "To John's brother" signed Weird Al.
If you're on the internet right now at a computer, press pause on this podcast, go on YouTube and search for Weird Al performing "Another One Rides the Bus." Which was his first performance, like, back in 1981 or something like that.
On, like, the... Whose show was he
Tom
on?
Snyder or something like that?
I think it was maybe Tom Snyder, yeah. There was a radio show that he... Like, a local radio show, Dr. Demento, he was on a lot.
That's just a great video.
Yeah.
See, and the fact that he, has the 30-year staying power. Like, he could put out a record, this year, and it would probably...
Yeah.
I don't know if it would sell a million copies, but it would sell a lot.
I only own his first, like, six.
Yeah.
Not the last, like, three or four or any, but I'll still listen. I'll still get my hands on it somehow to listen to it.
I think part of it is, everyone, I think, associates him with this sort of novelty and not the fact that he actually is a good songwriter and has a, great ear for those things. And that's why he's still able to put out albums, is because he's just good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
There's been any number of novelty songs. I mean, you look at, Weird Al was on Dr. Demento, but Dr. Demento's also played a shitload of Art Paul Schlosser. Like, it's, so it's like, he's just a good musician, and he has a really good ear for that. He knows how to sell himself, and he just knows how to, the shows that he's putting on now are still, these huge stage spectacles in a way for Weird Al with, like, eight costume changes and things. So,
yeah, I saw him at the Seymour County Fair or something like that, the Shawano County Fair. I don't know.
Shawano?
One of, up by Green Bay somewhere.
Right.
And I think it was in Seymour, but it might have been the Shawano County. I'm not sure. But I remember him
going
off stage.
Whatever it is.
That's fine. That's cool. And he came out in this giant fat suit. And then, went off stage, performed fat, and then, went off stage and changed back into regular Weird Al clothing. It was pretty good.
Regular Weird Al clothing.
Yeah. Just a giant bow tie.
He did ditch
shoes.
The mustache and the glasses. He got the LASIK.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to do LASIK.
Me too.
Personally.
Me too.
So we don't know for sure whether, in 5 or 10 years, everyone who's gotten LASIK, their eyes will just fall out. So
yep.
I don't know.
I'm really scared to get LASIK because I don't need glasses.
Yeah.
So just wondering if that would just make me.
I don't even really like contacts that much.
I'm really scared for you to
get
LASIK. I don't have to.
Let's talk about how junkmusic.com has made some inroads and sort of gotten a more local focus into Madison recently. When did that start?
Really kind of just started this summer. I'm just actually only probably a couple months old at this point.
Okay.
I mean, every once in a while I would have a regular post. So there's still, the main page that's still one song every day, and that part has not changed in the last 7 years, and I don't anticipate it ever changing. But now we also have this other page that's all Madison stuff, as Chris mentioned, reviews and previews and giveaways and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really only just a couple of months old. We used to, every once in a while on that main part, have a feature of a local band. I remember, last summer, Icarus himself and Surgeons in Heat a couple of times.
I've got a Surgeons in Heat story if you want to hear it later.
I have an Icarus himself story at Blue. I was at the Blue Heels, show on Saturday. This was after Chris and I were very drunk. And I was still...
I was sleeping and in trouble at this point.
Luckily, I don't have a...
In trouble who? In trouble the law?
With my wife.
Oh.
I don't have a wife to have to report back to you.
You can get as drunk as you want.
So, awkward pause because I'm nodding. So the singer of Nick, the singer of Icarus himself, was just sitting at the bar, and I sat and talked to him for like a half an hour. But I had to send him a message since then on Sunday or Monday, apologizing in case I was too drunk. But really, it just kind of happened because, as far as the Madison-centric stuff, it was kind of a things meeting ahead, lots of different things. I started hanging out with Chris a lot more after Peter Truby left, and we had this mutual kinship of making fun of Peter Truby behind his back, so we became good friends doing that. And he wanted to kind of get back into the music business.
Sure.
Chris did, and saw an opening for junk music to kind of have a local spin to it.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, especially since the AV Club Madison is
no longer a thing. So Chris, like, I remember him saying directly to me, like, Muzzle of Bees is gone, a website that we loved. Mm-hmm. Ryan moved to Milwaukee and then to Austin. So, I mean, we're trying to roughly fill the void that Muzzle of Bees kind of filling that role, and
yeah.
And to a much lesser extent, the AV Clubs, the Madison AV Club, kind of their music stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good original content. 5 questions with the Acer a couple weeks ago for that show. You probably have a better memory of.
We had a nice question about, and this was the brainchild of the writer Isabel who did that. They asked about, or she asked, what a Acer show on the moon would look like. And they kind of ate that question up, and their publicist loved it.
Show on the moon?
Yes. Yes. Now, for the life of me, I can't remember what they... They said that there would need to be a dome because there's, like, no air, and so-and-so would be there, and I don't know. It actually wasn't that great because a month later we can't remember. But...
You make it sound like all those, like, the logistics, like, we're going to have a generator.
There was something about power, I think, in that question, in the answer somewhere. But, no, they kind of enjoyed not... I mean, most of our questions are the standard, like, kind of questions you'd think... Somebody would ask a band
like best Chicago Bowl ever, Luke Longley or B.J. Armstrong.
Right, yeah, that's one.
B.J. Armstrong is clearly the correct answer to that question.
We had this. Yes. Chris and I had this really long list of, and we won't say some of them that are kind of a little inappropriate. But some of the
we put the explicit tag on our podcast.
Okay, well maybe we will then.
Let's hit us with one.
We're brainstorming like questions that we can ask Yesayer that they wouldn't normally get.
Why don't you pose one to me and Chris and we'll answer it?
Ooh, we should have that's. One thing that we should have had a list of.
Reversing roles, us answering questions.
What about the Wendy?
Oh yeah, this is
the Arby's.
So it's widely known that your favorite fast food restaurant is Wendy's.
That is actually true of me.
Yes.
We're talking to Yesayer right now.
So.
Or maybe Dirty Projectors next.
Would
week.
You eat Arby's if we gave you a free fry coupon?
No.
Okay.
No. There was.
I've got a high fast food standard.
What about? Now we're kind of on the spot trying to think of these. There was the one I mentioned, Blur, earlier, and I actually it was a big deal buying that album because I was an Oasis fan. But there was one that was one question that we thought of, like a train leaves Houston at going 70 miles an hour to Atlanta, another train leaves Richmond going. Going to Miami at 80 miles an hour, and at what point will they meet? And also, Blur or Oasis, which one are you a fan of? So we'd ask, there'd be like this long paragraph that we'd be asking, yes, these are not going well. We have comedian Chris Lay here, and he's like, not even blinking.
He's got severe ADD, so he's checking his phone constantly.
But, sorry.
What I wish we could think of some better ones. Well, if we can't think of any more of them, we'll pass them along to the guys, and they can put it in the notes of the episode.
If you guys have any questions for us out there in podcast land, you can email us, madisonpodcast@gmail.com, or ask us on Twitter, @madisonpodcast. Chris and John,
what was the most Brooklyn thing you guys have ever done was one of them,
because
they're from Brooklyn. And just to be like...
Thin crust
really
pizza.
Really, just kind of a little bit more risque, and since this is, I mean...
It's the Madison podcast.
There was one line of questioning was like us being amazed that afternoon that Oh my god, we're gonna be able to interview Yesair, like, it's, and we're less than a month into this thing, so.
Get to hang out with those guys, yeah.
Yep.
What's been your favorite show that you've seen in Madison?
That's a tough one.
I remember,
I'll go first, remember, just because I got it in, I got it in the chamber. I mean, aside from the Guar show, which kind of stands alone on its own, I'm a big fan of, like, you know, like, show experiences, you know, like, live music is fun, but... You know, I grew up in Green Bay and, you know, at the Concert Cafe or wherever where you could see a punk show every weekend. And, you know, so I like the experience and, like, a band putting on a great live show. And so Monotonix at the High Noon Saloon, probably 2007 or 8.
It would have been 2009, I think, actually, maybe as late as that.
They played a few times. And
No, like, was it when they played with the, because they played with the Forward Fest, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't that show. It was a different show.
Right. Yeah, this was at the High Noon. That was the one that they were... told not to book, if I remember right.
Like, yeah,
that was a crazy show. I've probably described it on the podcast before, but just like a fully, you know, like unified crowd experience that night. Yeah. That's for sure.
Right. Ooh. Remember.
I saw Pretty Lights at High Noon also a few years back. That was pretty good.
The Sufjan Stevens Majestic show a couple years ago was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris Winterhack?
That Start From Scratch show.
My Morning Majestic. Jacket at the Annex?
Yeah. Oh.
I saw Dredge at the Annex.
I forget about the Annex. Cold War Kids.
Tokyo Police Club.
And Delta Spirit all on the same bill at the Annex.
Wow.
That's a great lineup.
That was in 2007. That was one that I drove down from Altoona to go to.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. Just way too many. The best show I've seen this year was Radiohead in Chicago.
Okay.
A couple days before the stage collapse in Toronto.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that went to that same Chicago show and said it was just like a religious experience. It's phenomenal.
Amazing.
I haven't been to many outdoor shows, but the one that I've been, or one of them that I've been to is probably my favorite show of all time. It was in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, in the summertime of 2004 during the Waterfest. Where, like, they have a bunch of shows just out on the lake, and they're $2 to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see RX Bandits, who are my favorite band, and Catch 22, who I've loved forever, and a few other bands. But
RX
those
Bandits, Drive Thru Records.
Yeah. Well, and later MDB Records, because they left Drive Thru and they formed their own label.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was right during. You know, in between my two favorite RX Bandits albums, and like the sun was setting and it was outside and it was summertime and it was $2 and I was right in front and it was fucking sweet. So it's like, that's the sort of live show experience that you can look back on years later and just, that's why you go to live shows, is just that feeling.
I think probably one of my favorite shows was at, it was Salem opening for Acceptor. It was at the High Noon. It was part of whatever the second Forward Fest was. I think Wong's Walk or whatever, who's now defunct, like, booked that. And it was... I had been reading the American Hardcore book for, like, the longest time. And so I was, like, really into, like, this, like, intense kind of, like, in-your-face, like, fuck you thing. And I was like, oh, man, like, that kind of music, that really intense, like, you know, aggressive stuff doesn't exist anymore. And then I went there and watched these two bands basically alienate the entire room, and it ended with, like, somebody yelling at Acceptor, like, get off the stage, you guys suck! You guys suck, go back to Brooklyn! Go back! And, like, the guy, like, grabbed, like, a megaphone they were using and is like, say that to my face! Like, yelling, like, out at the audience, this dude. And then the guy kept yelling and he jumped out and, purposefully or not, ended up, like, catching the dude in the audience just right in the face with the bell of the megaphone and just, like, laid him out. It was amazing. I was very pleased with that experience.
I would not put up with that, I don't think.
I was in a place where I was, like, looking for that kind of, like, really riled up. Like, these guys are pissing everybody off. I was so psyched about it. And, yeah, I was, like, it's not the kind of thing, like, I wouldn't want a bootleg of that show so I could go back and listen to it. I was just really happy to be there and, like, just, like, the terrible, bad, like, Altamont vibes that were going on. Like, was just amazing.
What's the worst show you guys have ever been to?
There was that Start From Scratch show.
I saw Sharon Lewis and Bram when I was a kid.
I should mention that I was in a pop punk band for a lot of years. So.
Me too. Same.
Start From Scratch. Yeah. Played up in the Fox Cities quite a bit.
And Madison a couple times.
Yeah. And I saw a lot of bad ones. I worked at the Majestic for a lot of years, and I'm not a fan of some of the jam bands. Might be up there.
Woogie Foot or whatever the fuck that band is.
I can actually
put on a pretty good live show.
I can imagine if I worked at a venue like the Majestic, you know, every day, that there'd be a decent handful amount of bands that would come through that you're just like,
let me spin this in a positive way. let me spin this positively. What's a show that you've been to that when you saw it on paper you were like, this is probably gonna suck, but then ultimately ended up being pretty good.
There we go.
And again, I'll prompt it with this one. I went and saw Sugar Ray again in Oshkosh when I was probably 18, 2002 or 3. The opening band was Simple Plan, if you remember that.
I remember Simple Plan.
And this was before their album came out. This was like their third show ever in the United States. And so, you know, they get up and, you know, they weren't bad, you know. They certainly put on a good show. And the cool part was afterwards they were just kind of like hanging out in the audience, you know, just like, you know, not acting like they were any big shit or anything like that. But then Sugar Ray comes out. And, I mean, I think a lot of people forget, number one, that Sugar Ray used to be a hardcore band before Fly came out. Like back in the early, and you're talking about Korn and Limp Bizkit, yeah. Like they were kind of lumped in with them before they really went pop. And so they played not only a lot of their hardcore songs, but like they put on a really good show, and especially because I paid $4 to get into it or something like that, because it was at UW Oshkosh. I was really, really surprised at how great of a show they put on. And this was well after that, you know, again, 03 or something like that, so well after their fame had passed. So that's my answer to my own question.
I saw Kansas open up for Yes one time, and that just I went in just because I had free tickets. It was like some, you know, Fox summer, you know, concert series thing in Charlotte, North Carolina, at like the big summer amphitheater, and it was amazing.
I'll be around about.
All right. Yeah. Make you out and out. Yeah. It was that.
Maybe Yes will make it on a Curveball.
Oh man, Friday. They're so good. They're so good. I've been listening to like tons of just 70s rock. I recently ordered like the 2-disc version of Rumors.
I did have an idea for a different blog in the last in the last year or two, which I mean it's not going to happen, but because it would take a lot of planning. But you can post. I mean, you can go back and make a post on a Blogger or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't use Blogger anymore, but make it be whatever you know date you want it to be. So I actually thought about planning out like either the 70s or 80s, like. Well, here's 300 posts that I want to make.
Yeah.
Over the course of a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And set it up as if
that was a blog from 1972. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So like you're like, yeah, like Duran Duran's Rio just came out, and like, oh man, is it good?
Everyone's
like,
talking about it. Here's the MP3 for it.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, I haven't quite figured out how to do that because the internet.
Talking about like setting like you know filming a video to go with their song. What's that about?
What's cable?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Last question for you guys. What are a band or two that you would like people out there in podcast land to know about that they might not know about?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Chris Lay?
like the first thing that jumped into my head was Skrillex, but that's not the real... That's not. That
people don't know about Skrillex yet.
Can't be a real answer. I think I have recently been listening to a lot... there's an album called Theme for an Imaginary Film by a guy who goes by the name Symmetry, and it's on Italians Do It Better, and it's he was asked to do the soundtrack for the movie Drive first, and then I think they either didn't like what he turned in or they ended up going with Cliff Martinez, who ended up doing the score for that. And this is just, it's like 2 hours of all of the stuff that he had, you know, either, you know, finished off after he'd given them, like, the rough drafts, or it's the stuff that he didn't. Just really, really beautiful, like mood music. And that same kind of, like, roll the windows down, turn off the headlights, and drive across the entire state of Kansas in the middle of the night kind of, like, music. It's amazing.
Sure.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Symmetry.
Symmetry. On Italians Do It Better. Or Italians Do It Better.
Chris Winterhack?
I guess one of the best shows that I was to recently, which goes along the lines of bands that you should know, some local bands actually.
Okay.
One of them being a Direct Hit, great punk band currently living in Milwaukee. Look them up. The other one, Masked Intruder.
Yes.
looks yes. very similar to the band The Gusto, but with masks on and with a and also also signed and to, on tour right now.
Did you just unmask Mask Intruder?
And then another band that's local, good friends and also a great band, Whiskey Pig.
Oh, Kyle. Kyle yes. Booth is Kyle an amazing Booth guy. Is a yeah,
good friend and amazing lead singer of this band. But other than that,
following him on Facebook is just a real treat. Like,
yeah, it's... add Kyle Booth as a friend on Facebook.
you won't
be disappointed.
No, you really won't.
And then albums I'm listening to a lot right now. Yet are a couple hip hop albums. Killer Mike's new album, which most of you should know about, and LP's new album is.
Yes.
Pretty great. And one band from Junk Music that I found out about, thanks to John, is the band Somerset, which is on the Junk Music Summer Jams Volume 2 compilation on the website.
That's a mixtape of summery songs.
Is that one of the ones that you
perfect for September 12th, whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Right.
Was that one of the ones that you you worked with Stacy doing mixtapes in Harper?
Yeah, so the first time I made a mixtape a couple years ago was for her website, mixtapesheartbreaks.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since then, each summer, I've made a summer mixtape, which is basically just kind of 20... songs that seem like they're summery and that they're bands that you probably haven't heard of yet, and some of them have gotten to be kind of big deals, like 2010 Foster the People was on there, and so by the time everyone else was starting to hear Foster the People, I was completely sick of the song.
Yeah.
And then by the time everyone else was sick of it, I was kind of in a second wind.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I made a mixtape for Stacey's website like the day after she was on our podcast back in January, but I literally have not seen her since that point to give it to her. So it's just sitting on my desk at home.
Yep. I actually
full
also
of Cypress Hill and other fun things.
That feeling of like if you make somebody a mixtape and you put a song on there that then becomes a huge thing, it's like you wanna like remind that person like, remember, like, when I put Gnarls Barkley's Crazy on a tape for you that, like, you know...
So, yeah, those...
Like, 3 months before
those Summer Jams mixtapes are... I mean, it's half putting them together, half thinking of bands that nobody's heard of, but then the other half wants to be songs that are kind of these anthems that might... It might become, like, the song of the summer. So there is this very thin line of trying to remind people that... Well, that cult song was on there 2 years ago. So.
Yeah.
You don't want to brag too much, but on the other hand, you do.
On the third hand,
for every... I mean, there's like three or four hits on it, and the other 14 songs nobody has ever heard of and never will never hear of them ever again. So,
So I guess if you want to hear some of John's bands that you should hear about, check out jonkmusic.com. And check out the Summer Jams Volume 2 mixtape.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with three bands. The first is a band out of England. There's not many pop punk bands or power pop bands that I like anymore, but these guys are called Me Versus Hero. They're from Northern England. They're just putting out they're recording their second album right now. They've never been to America. My buddy Chris Bojanek told me about them, and they're really great. They combine a lot of really great elements of like power pop and hardcore, all mixed together. Very good stuff. Second band is called Parson Redheads. They're based out of Portland, Oregon. Full disclosure, one of my best friends is in the band. They're like kind of a neo-folk, you know, sort of new type of Fleetwood Mac, sort of the Byrds are two bands that they've been compared to a lot. Check them out, Parson Redheads, like I said, based out of Portland, Oregon. And last but certainly not least, the unofficial band of the Madison podcast, Muddy Udders, based out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. They're probably, and no disrespect intended to other bands in the state of Wisconsin, but they might be the best band, like talent-wise, in the state of Wisconsin that no one's ever heard of. All three of them are fantastic at guitar, bass, and drums, and they switch periodically during their sets. They played at Mickey's Tavern maybe a month and a half ago, and it was pretty incredible to watch, you know, because they had a few openers that played, and those bands were good, but then Muddy Udders just got up there and just, like, they took it to a whole nother level, and I feel weird saying that because again, they're my buddies, but they're fucking incredible. Yeah. So if you like rockabilly music, or just, you know, punk rock influence, rock and roll music, generally speaking, check them out. MuddyUtters.com. Their third album, Bloody Murders, is absolutely fantastic. So if you ever get an opportunity to see them live, definitely do that because you will drink a lot of beer. So yeah, that'll wrap up this episode. Check out the website junkmusic.com every single day for a new song. Check out the summer mixtape. Check out the Madison section of junkmusic.com for locally focused content.
We'll have the dates for their thing that they're running with the Majestic on our website.
That's right. On our website, madisonpodcast.com. You can also get a hold of us, madisonpodcast@gmail.com, and on Twitter @madisonpodcast.
And we might be back in a few months to talk about how none of this worked out.
So stay tuned for that.
Well, you're gonna junk me stuck. I'm just gonna be at 404.
Nothing.
No, it's fun to be here. It was fun to be on.
I'm a computer on fire for some reason. Yeah.
John and Chris, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you guys.
Again, we're the Madison Podcast. I'm Eric Reinert.
I'm Chris Lay.
Thanks for listening, and take care. Thank you for downloading the Madison Podcast. For more on our podcast, visit our website at madisonpodcast.com.